distant and small. Imagine the universe as not being there, and then just to think of the one who knew you before you were anywhere. It's such a such a privilege to know the Lord. Before you were born, He knew you by name. While we were yet sinners, in love Jesus came. So small and nothing at all, I'm touched with eternity. It's such a privilege to know the Lord. It's such a treasure to have His holy
Man, thank you, sister. Okay, let's grab our Bibles and stand together and turn the book of Revelation. And it is a privilege to know the Lord. Amen. Thank you. By the way, Brother Charlie, Cambodian, saved here in our church. And then Brother Bruce up here leading singing, Guatemalan, saved in our church. Cindy, Chinese, saved in our church. And we have all different colors, red and yellow, black and white. They are all precious in His sight. And Brother Ezekiel, I sound like I'm in a cave. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. The title of the message is A Forever and Ever Mindset. A Forever and Ever Mindset. Revelation chapter 22. If you could look at verse number 1, there's a constant struggle for all, even the best of us, to, as Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, to set, verses 1 to 3, really, to set our affections on things above and not on things on earth. We are in a constant battle, all of us, pastor included, to set our affections on things above and not on things on earth. One, and I'll talk a little bit more about it tonight, but one way to help us is to just read the Bible. Look at what God talks about in eternity. Life is a vapor. Here for a little bit, then we're gone. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal. Other rivers are beautiful. Fresh water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Amen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants, that's us, shall serve him. And they shall see his face. One day we're going to see the face of our Lord. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle or Title 24 lights for our new building. Neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Father, help us as we just look at the scriptures this morning to be reminded. Maybe there's a new Christian. This is sort of new to them. That we will, as God's people, live forever and ever and ever. And then, Lord, if there's a lost person here, which no doubt, even if it's somebody that's been in our church for a while, maybe they've had a false profession or a visitor. If there's a lost person, help them to realize that if they don't get saved today, it's very possible that they will be in eternity without God, in hell forever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn over to the chapter prior to verse 21. Turn to chapter 21 and look at the verse 1, please. And of course, the Lord gave John a vision of the future on the Isle of Patmos. And this is sort of like a video that he's watching. Revelation chapter 1 and or 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. Imagine that. John said he used to live with his aunt. I don't know when she's just coming into town or you just saw each other. But I remember I was in Bible college for two years and I didn't see my family and I flew home and hadn't seen my mother for 2 years. And man, it was a nice welcoming. But we're going to be with God. Dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Some people, we're not sure, some would say that possibly God's people will see the white throne judgment. We won't discuss that. The white throne judgment meaning seeing watching our maybe our loved ones, a friend, being thrown into hell. And so this might be, and this is where our tears would be wiped away. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Amen? No sorrow, neither sorrow. No crying. The older I get, the more people I watch cry. You say, why? There's more people. There's more heartaches. The older you get, the more you cry. Young people say, oh, little babies cry. Eh, they get a little boo-boo, they're done. We cry in the morning, we'll cry in the afternoon, and cry at night. No more tears. All the tears will be wiped away. No more crying, no more sorrow. Neither shall there be any more pain. Come on. I saw Ron. Of course, Brother Gray sort of humiliated Ron on Wednesday night when he talked about how horrible Ron was at golf. And I saw Ron, he was limping. He's 42, Brother Ron. 35, no lying in church. He said, man, I was playing basketball with the guys, and my knee just went out. Or no, you said you were playing volleyball. Okay, remember when we were teenagers, we could bounce off of people, we can flip, and nothing broken, and everything's okay. A little scratch, man. You hit about 40. Oh, my back. Every person that's 40 years old has a back problem. Okay? I can't even pick, I'm 52, I can't even pick up a little box without going, oh man, I'm hurting for 2 days. No more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow. All of our tears will be wiped away. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are past. And he, the verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. By the way, aren't you glad that God's words are true and faithful? We can depend on the word of God. Maybe you might not be able to depend on some individual's word, and maybe you might not be able to depend on your own word, but we can know that God's words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, verse 6, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water freely, water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And some would believe that that means you get all the rewards. You get a lot of the rewards. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I know I'm not spending much time, though a lot of this is pretty easy to understand. Not all of it is. Look at Luke chapter 12. I'm reading a lot here on purpose. Luke chapter 12. Forever and ever mindset. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 13. And one of the company, verse 13, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. By the way, inheritance disputes, fights, curses have been going on for hundreds of years, unfortunately. You might want to have some counsel and advice on how to go about that, but we're not going to talk about that. There's a dispute, and he comes to Jesus and says, can you help me with this dispute I'm having with my brother about an inheritance? Verse 14, and he said unto him, Man, so Jesus speaking, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Okay, so he's addressed, like, it shifted from an inheritance dispute. And Jesus says, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Now look at this. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, please get this. That is much of what we hear in our culture. That what you possess, whether it's a type of a car, a type of a suit, a type of a purse. How much are you going to spend for gym shoes for your son? I'll throw this in there. I bet these folks in Africa that are getting the gospel over there, maybe you, instead of investing in money on gym shoes, send it to the mission field. Don't get quiet on me now. I'm going to start talking about purses. I thought a purse was what we hold our wallet in. Our change purse. To this, I don't know what a Gucci purse is. I don't like them. You say, well, I heard how much they cost. So what? Now we have a new identity. If you have a Gucci purse, what? Man's life consisteth not in the things you possess. My son the other day, I probably shouldn't say this. You like me to confess my kids' sins, don't you? But when I start confessing your kids' sins, you start getting mad. He had these, what are the nice sunglasses, what are they called? Oakleys. All of you worldly people know what it is. He had these Oakley sunglasses. Now, he's 17. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to stream like a little kid, but I did. I said, what's the Oakley sunglasses? Now, he wasn't going to get in trouble. Actually, that's a lie. I said, how much did you pay for those? He said, $5. I said, okay, that's all right. You know what Jesus is saying? Quit living like the world. Quit thinking like the world. There's things that are much more important than Oakley sunglasses and Gucci purses and all these nice, I don't even know. Robert tells me all this stuff. We're God's people. We should think differently. We should live differently. Our lives should be different. Listen, let's get the gospel to the world and let's help the people that are in the pig pen of the world. Maybe they're God's people and they've dived into the world, but don't let them influence us. We should have a heavenly mindset, eternal mindset, a forever and ever mindset. Verse 15 again, and he said unto them, Take heed and beware of the covetousness of a man's, of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things by the way, if you have a Gucci, my wife has one of those very expensive purses. You're going to see her probably walking down. She's probably hiding it right now. There's no spirit of condemnation, okay? Just trying to get home a point. Okay? I'm trying to think. I don't have anything expensive right now. Kmart. Okay. Let's not look around. Oh, okay. What kind of watch do you have? That's not the point. The point is life does not consist in the things that we possess. We don't need an identity symbol. And every time someone gets an iPhone 5 or I don't know what all the I's are, you don't have to get one. You're not even using the first edition that you gave to somebody. Right? That's what Jesus is saying. I got a nice phone. Somebody gave it to me. I don't know how to use it. Just recently, I learned how to use the calculator on there. That's about as advanced as I get. So, oh, you know, someone, I still use 3x5. So I got a thought. I write a 3x5. One of the men came up and he said, Pastor, do you know you can put notes on your phone? There's a note little icon or something. I said, stay out of my business. No, I didn't. I said, thank you. And I still don't use it. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being rich. However, the Bible warns the rich. But there's a certain rich man that brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? By the way, look at all these I's and my's and me and I. He said, what shall I do? There's no God involved here, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He should be saying, I wonder what the Lord wants me to do now. I've prospered and have all this extra surplus. I wonder what God wants. No, that wasn't the case. I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And by the way, those of us who are Christians, we're stewards. We're just managers. God owns everything. And he said in verse 18, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You say, what is this? This is retirement. This is time. Listen, there's nowhere in the Bible that teaches us to retire and just sit back in a rocking chair. Nowhere. Of course we're going to slow down. God has just made it so we sort of slow down and we just sort of, you know, we have a long life. We just little by little, but you don't. Listen, elderly people like myself, we know a little bit more. Let's share that. Okay, we've made so many mistakes. God has taught us through maybe bad decisions or maybe through his word because we've been reading and studying and been around godly people. But no, not this guy. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But, okay, now God sort of shows up in this story. But God said unto him, thou fool. Why is he a fool? He's not a fool because he's rich. He's not a fool because he has barns. He's not a fool even because of he's trying to be wise. He's a fool because of his motives. He's a fool because of his what he's trying to do. He's trying to just take it easy. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to be a self-made, you know, this, I don't have to work anymore. Everything's okay. That is why he's a fool. And he's a fool because he doesn't think about an eternity. And he's a fool because the Bible says life is a vapor. You don't know. Listen, we don't know if we're going to live. He said, well, you know, I'm healthy. I'm 40. You never know. You might have a heart attack tonight. We don't know that. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be? They should have been God's. He should have entrusted them to God. He should have been a steward. He should have been a manager. Then everything was okay. You can leave things, but no, I'll tell you who they're. You all know who they're going to be. It's going to be his wife's next husbands. That's who all that stuff's going to be. Don't leave your wife too much down here, man. You're going to watch your wife have a wonderful time. But God said thou. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. There's nothing wrong with having treasures as long as you're not laying them out for yourself. John, welcome back from your surgery. Himself, and is not rich towards God. I don't know about you. I want to be rich towards God. He's not condemning being rich. He's condemning, why are you trying to be rich? And he, verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither what for the body, what you shall put on. Verse 23, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And now he's just saying, don't live like the unsaved people. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. You know, people say, oh man, you guys, how are you going to, you guys are real committed Christians. How are your children, what are they going to do with their future? Well, we teach them how to work. You say, why? Because the Bible teaches us to teach our children how to work. We teach them whatsoever their hand findeth to do, doeth with all of their might. We'll teach them that. We'll teach them principles of wisdom. We'll teach them biblical resourcefulness and how to be scripturally thrifty. But more important than anything else, we're teaching them how to trust in God. Because what if they find some career from some profession, and then the next thing you know it, you know, I was listening to a guy the other day, and he said, you know, when I went to school, I got a computer science, is that right? Computer science degree? He said, you know what, almost everything I learned, it's all outdated. He says, what we learned, I remember my friend Mark Kaler, he said he was a computer guy way back in the 80s. He said, you know the computers we worked on? He said, they were as big as a refrigerator. He said there were these huge computers. Obviously, he had to go back to school or he was out of a job. Verse number 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. By the way, God's not against saving, but please understand this. When does it stop? I know some people. They're against all insurances. I'm not throwing a stone at them. Maybe they have a greater faith. I have insurance. But where does it stop? Where does it stop to say I can have faith now? I mean, I'm not against, and I don't think God is either. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, now we're supposed to have, you know, a certain amount of months of savings just in case. I think the Bible teaches that. That's in Joseph, okay? And then we have to have a 401k because, you know, I heard the other day, you know, when we retire, some of you retire, you're going to need $1 million in savings. I'm going, really? I guess we're all going to starve to death. I don't know of anyone in our church, and if you do, you're surprised. I don't know if anybody's got $1 million in the bank right now. Okay? Where does it stop? I'll tell you where it stops. It stops when someone is so close to God and so close to his word and they're so in tune with God, they're like, wait a minute. I've been listening to the wrong voices. Okay? And even some of our Christian financial guys on the radio, especially the ones that play Pink Floyd, I won't go there. Anyway, you need to be careful. Okay, and I'm not saying don't listen to all these guys. I am saying, where does it stop? By the time you're 65, we finally now have enough to live on. Is that what you live for? Now you don't have much life to live. Anyway, let's go on. Verse 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? And a lot of us shorties wish we can do that, right? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought of the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. It's a pretty lily. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, richest man on earth, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these lilies. You know what he's saying? God knows how to take care of his own. Verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye should drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things to the nations of the world, he's just talking about the Gentiles or the world or the unsaved people, seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Aren't you glad God knows what we need? He knows what we need. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things. You know, God, by the way, God does, he says, if you seek my kingdom, everything else is going to be taken care of. All these things shall be added unto you. Let me just share just a few thoughts. By the way, it's a joy to know so many forever and ever people. I just coined that. Maybe some, you say, what are forever and ever people? Just people that live for eternity. It's just a joy. It's a joy to be, there's something about somebody that has a mindset of not the temporal, but the eternal. I think of Robert over here. And Robert's an electrician. And Robert's a bus captain. And Robert works 4 tens. Every other Friday, he gets a day off. Saturdays, now things have been a little muddy simply because of the building, but he's a bus captain on Saturdays. I've heard him get his bus workers together and say, we're going soul winning. We're going to knock out all these errors. We're just going to door-to-door systematically and just try to win as many people to Christ as we can. Amen? By the way, he's not a pastor. He's not a deacon. He's not a missionary. He's an electrician in our church that has a forever and ever mindset. And so every other Friday, he gets a day off, and then at every other Friday, he's out on the job site, and he's helping us. He's an electrician. He's helping. So when you go in that building, if you flip on a switch and everything goes, blame him. Thank you, Brother Robert. I like to be around you. You got a forever and ever mindset. There's a lot of people. We met with Brother Pack over here and his wife, Juhee, yesterday. They're wonderful Christians. What a blessing they've been to our church. Just been here for a little time. Brother Pak, he's Korean. He went to medical school in China. He has a clinic in Orange County. And you know what he'll do? On Saturdays, no clinic appointments. You know what he does? He speaks Mandarin. Him and his wife speak Chinese. They're Korean in America, and they speak Chinese. Amen? Love God. Love souls. Very strong, doctrinally sound. He goes soul winning with my 23-year-old son in the largest Chinese community in America on Saturdays. And then Tuesday afternoon, no appointments. You say, what is he doing? Him and his dear wife are out there working on the construction site. He texted me this week. He said, Pastor, let's work on translating some good material in Chinese. He says, let's give he's willing to do it, 2 to 3 hours, get a group together, get some of our people that speak Chinese and English, and he said, let's translate some good, so that as the Chinese ministry grows, the people are doctrinally sound. He can have another patient instead of 2 to 3 hours a week and then soul winning. See, what is that? That's a mindset of an eternal mindset. These fine people here, we have a medical doctor with Dr. Hawking. You know, Dr. Ella, she could probably become a medical doctor, go anywhere in the world and make a bunch of money. You understand that? Committed Christianity isn't just for us people that aren't all that smart. Right? It's for everybody. For doctors and architects. And I was on the job site the other day, and we have people that sell drugs in our church illegally, and then we have some that sell them. You said, do you know people that sell drugs illegal in our church? No, but I know they've come through. Okay? And then some that sell them legally. Okay, that's Eugene and Hong. They're pharmacists. If it wasn't for Brother Eugene, when I asked him, hey, Brother Eugene, can you help us? And Brother Eugene's Mandarin is, or Cantonese, or whatever he speaks, you know, it's he doesn't speak it fluently. I said, can you go to Monterey Park when we start this new church and try to reach the Chinese? He said, we'll do it. Many weeks, Brother Eugene and I, we'd go knock on doors. I'd just sit there and watch him say yee-haw or yo-ho or something. And he'd talk to them, and we'd give him a track, and we'd just go on. I saw him the other day. He was on your crew doing electrical out on the job site. You say, what's the point? This is an eternal mindset. Okay, I'm sure Brother Eugene probably in this world, he has two children. He's great marriage. Pritchard's over here. Brother Pritchard sent me a text. Was that this morning or last night? Last night sent me a text. He said, I didn't know who it was. I don't have your name, I guess, or I don't know if you changed your phone or what. But he said, Pastor, just want to let you know my boys and I are praying for the power of God in the service tomorrow. Thank you. He was in Madagascar. Now he has a heart for church planting. This family right here, brother and Eric and Misty, moved from Pontiac, Michigan. You say, what are they doing? Are they transferring so they have a better job? No. They're transferring so they can do what they believe is the will of God. Had a guy call this past week, and he said, I was in Thailand as an English teacher, and then I was in Korea as an English teacher, and I've been praying about God's will, and he said, I've been studying the map and to see where there's lost people without a gospel witness, and he said, I found out that one of the places that need more gospel witness than any country in the world is Laos. I don't know who this guy is. And he said, I come to find out there are no independent Baptist church planters in the country of Laos from America. And he said, I went to this mission board, and this mission board said, call Pacific Baptist. And he called. I said, man, what are you doing? First, I grilled him a little bit. I just wanted to make sure that he wasn't, you know, emergent and contemporary and all that type of stuff. I said, listen, we don't want to waste our time on that. If you want to do that, it's between you and God. And we sort of went through that. And he said, no, man. He said, we believe in the King. We use the King James Bible. I mean, he said, we're soul winners. We're not contemporary. And I said, good. That's, you know, screening process number one. I said, come out here. You pay your own plane ticket. You fly out here. And let's talk about maybe you can be a part of our team in Laos. He is so excited. He went to school to be an engineer. Say, Pastor, what's the point? It's a wonderful thing to be around people that are eternally minded. We're not against the others, but you know, they sort of foggy our minds sometimes. Here's Brother Charlie and I, we're talking about winning lost people to Christ, and we're talking about Brother Charlie. Have you been to Cambodia yet? You've been to Cambodia? As a teenager. And for him to go on his first mission trip, and then next you know it, Ryan comes up. Can I see your phone, Ryan? By the way, I like, this is perfect. You don't have it? You got to have it. You know what Ryan told me? He said, Pastor, you used to have one of the real nice ones, right? He said, I went back to one of these just out of principle. Now you make me look bad because I don't even go this low. My fingers don't even, who's calling me? But all of a sudden, Ryan shows up here, and he's going, oh, man. And if you do this, more power to you. Look at my new iPhone 6. Look at my new iPad. Nothing, listen, iPads and iPhones and all that, nothing wrong with them. But is that all we're going to talk about? I got my new Oakley glasses. I got my new Gucci purse. You men aren't supposed to have purses anyway. Here, Ryan. Thanks. Thanks for downsizing. Start giving that money to missions. Amen. Much of our inner turmoil is rooted in a lack of an eternal mindset. A lot of our, there's so much can be said about that. We don't have time. That we just inside our heart, oh, what about this and what about that? Listen, we're just going to be down here for a little while. Mark, a Kentucky attorney, gives away half of his income each year. He said, my pursuit of money drove me away from God. Mark says, but since I've been giving it to him, everything's changed. In fact, giving has brought me closer to God than anything else. Forever and ever, people in some ways are invincible. You say, why? You can't really kill them because they know when they die, they're going to heaven and they're thinking about it. They're invincible. Their fear level is at a low. They don't walk around fearful of disease and fearful of what they're going to lose. They say, because I don't lose. I'm one of God's children. They have peace at all times that passeth all understanding. Temporal-minded people live in a constant frustration no matter what happens because you can never get... Listen, I own two homes. Now, I don't own them. The bank owns them. And they're dorms. One's a dorm and one's... I'm in real big debt. Listen, if the rapture took place, the bank is sort of in trouble. Let me tell you how it works. You get your first little house. Oh... so nice. We finally are homeowners. In 6 months, you're discontent. You're seeing how you can sell that one to get a bigger one. And then you get the bigger one. You're like, well, you know what? I don't really like the neighborhood. It's not as peaceful. And then you get another one. Listen, there's not a big enough house. There's not a big enough car. There's not a nice enough purse. Be content with what you have and serve the Lord. Always frustrated. You never get, I finally landed that job. You've been there 6 months and all you've been doing is griping about your boss and you know you are. Be content with what you have and just give your life to God and say, God, I'm down here for you forever. The more you have, the harder it is to have a forever mindset. You have a predisposition for living a temporal, you don't have to. But this is what God says. The more you have, the harder it is to have a forever and ever mindset. You have a predisposition for living for temporal things. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. You know who's more tempted to be proud? Those of us that have a little bit more than somebody else. We're no better than anybody else. One of these poor little bus kids that lives in the lower economic, you would call ghetto of our city. They are, listen, we are no one in here is any better than they are. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Riches, the Bible says, have wings. They fly away every once in a while. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things. It's okay to enjoy life. That giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works. You rich people out there, if we got one or two, you're supposed to be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. You say, what does that mean? Distribute. Distribute. You got a few extra, well, I'm going to save. Or I got to invest in the future. God says, ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. John Wesley was a very wealthy, though he gave just about everything away, a very wealthy preacher. He says, I judge all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity. Missionary C.T. Studd said, who was like a professional cricket player, came from a very wealthy home, and I've given some of the story before, we won't spend a time on it. He inherited a bunch of money. His dad died, and him and his wife were going to the mission field. And they were going to save a certain amount of money, and his wife turns to him and said, what did Jesus say to the young rich man? Didn't he say, give it all? And they gave. My dad dies, leaves me a bunch of money, I'm going to the mission field, I'm bringing some with me. Right? Obviously, that was of God, you know, and he wanted to take care of me. You know what they did? They gave it all away, then they went to the mission field. I'm not saying I'd do that, but listen, I'm a C.T. Studd fan, amen? Oh, and he said this, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. He said, 5 minutes after we die, we'll know exactly how we should have lived. But God has given us his word so we don't have to wait to die to find out. And he's given us his spirit to empower us to live that way now. Ask yourself, 5 minutes after I die, will I wish I would have given more away while I still had a chance? When you come up with an answer, why not give it away now? Why not spend the rest of our lives closing the gap between what we'll wish we would have given and what we are really given now? The less you have, the easier it is to have faith to live like this. The faith you need for a forever and ever mindset. James chapter 2 verse 5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren," please get this, "hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" Look here. Most, not all, most of my preacher friends, they come from either a lower or a middle economic family. You say, why would poor people have a predisposition for an eternal mindset? Because they don't have much to trust other than God. And for those of us, maybe we don't have much, just thank God for where you are, because you have more of a predisposition to trust the Lord. Rich people can trust the Lord. Poor people can trust the Lord. Middle-income people can trust the Lord. But understand where you are. If you have a lot, that's going to be a great temptation for you. It seems that this greater use of eternal type living is the only justification. Please get this. It seems that this greater use for eternal type living is the only justification for being wealthy Christians. Those called to this ministry of wealth had better be obedient to God's calling in this area. It is a dangerous place to be, like being behind enemy lines during a war. Richard Foster called the money ministry of a Christian living close to hell for the sake of heaven. You say, what does it mean? The more you have, the more of a temptation it is to not give all to God. And not just money, but your life and your time and your children. But you have so much potential because you can invest in that which is eternal. You can buy tracts and you can buy Bibles and you can help a missionary on the mission field. But that place, it's like, I like his little analogy. Man, you're on the enemy lines and you're close to the satanic and all of his junk, but you're right here and you can do so much, but it would be easy to fall back into there because of your riches. Hope you're getting that. This path is fraught with great frustration and temptations, and those who walk it have to face perplexing decisions and tragic moral choices that most people will never have to consider. Talking about those that have more. In many ways, our life will be immensely more complex. The more you have, the more complicated it is. Though it does not need to be complicated, we will need the prayer and support of the people of God, who must stand by us, counsel us, and guide us. We will be living close to hell for the sake of heaven. This is why a majority of, full-time workers, that's aren't there. And lastly, having an eternal mindset is essential for going to heaven. Matthew 16:26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange of for his soul?" Look, it is very difficult for anybody to understand how and what happens the day we die. By the way, that's why it's important for the pastor and fathers in your homes, Sunday school teachers, anyone who leads a group of people, we've got to address life as a vapor. Because as soon as we leave the family altar at our home, or as soon as we leave the Sunday school class, or as soon as we leave this church service, we don't hear it. We hear another voice. And Monday we'll hear another voice in work, and your coworkers are talking about something totally different. But more importantly is this, our eternal souls. It is very difficult for us to understand that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Eternity is a long time. I heard someone trying to explain eternity as far as years, and he gave all these to these math terms I'd never heard of. You know, not to this power, but all these math terms. And he said, after that, and he went on to talk about all the stars in heaven and how many there are and all the universe. And he said, once, and he gave this number and these terms I'd never heard of. And he said, after that, you're just getting started. And if you die, and if I die without Christ forgiving us of our sins and we becoming one of God's children, we will be in eternal hell forever and ever and ever. And there's no turning back. There's no second chance. There's no purgatory where we can do such and such to redeem ourselves. It is in hell forever. Let's bow our heads for just a minute and let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed.